All right. I think I'm wired now. We're going to read the whole psalm, but I'm going to concentrate on one particular verse in this psalm. Start off in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we're going to be concentrating on that first verse, this statement, this incredible statement that David makes when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And let's ask God to bless our time. Lord, we humbly come before your presence and we ask your blessing on this service. Lord, we thank you that we can be able to gather together here in freedom without fear of persecution. Lord, you've just given us a tremendous amount here and we love you for it and we thank you for it. I pray, Lord, that you just suit a blessing to every heart that's here in this room today, anybody that might be listening over the internet. Lord, that you'd meet their spiritual needs today. I pray especially if anybody's not saved, Lord, that you would open their eyes, show them their true need of you, and I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. And Lord, we love you, and we thank you for everything that you do for us, how you watch over us, you care for us like a good shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's not often you hear this particular psalm outside of a funeral. I know that it's a very popular song to be read when somebody passes away. It brings a tremendous amount of comfort, tremendous amount of hope, and it is probably maybe rivals John 3:16 for being a passage of scripture that is so well known. In fact, so well known that I'm almost hesitant to even preach on it, you know, because people probably already know everything about this psalm. And yet, one phrase in this particular psalm really grabbed my attention this week. And it's this statement that's made by David when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I don't know if you've really lately considered the fact that God is a shepherd, that we're referred to as sheep, and this relationship between God and his people, a sheep and the shepherd, is mentioned many, many times throughout the Word of God. It's a very, very common theme. And if you really think about it, this statement right here, a lot of people say it, very few people mean it. I got a question for you today. Is he really your shepherd? I mean, is he really your shepherd? Can you honestly say that the Lord is my shepherd? Because I'm going to give you a couple of considerations, things that you might want to consider, things that that you mean when you say, when you make this statement, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Just a couple of things, and I know we're going to have to go fast because Brent stole all the time in Sunday school. But we'll forgive him for that. That's what we do around here. We forgive one another. But I'm gonna go fast here so that you can still beat the Methodist DeLubies, all right? All right. So here's a couple of things to think about when we're thinking about "the Lord is my shepherd." Number one, you've got to admit that you're a sheep. Now think about that for a minute, because that's going to open up a word picture that you may not like. Okay, so it's an admission of your true nature, and that's one of a sheep. It's also, we're going to see that it's a declaration of dependence. I know we are very familiar with the Declaration of Independence. Hopefully, as an American, you have read at least once the Declaration of Independence. If you haven't, I would highly recommend you read that document. It's one of our founding documents. We have a holiday, July 4th, every year, where we celebrate our independence from Britain and our independence as a nation. But this is not a statement of independence. This is a statement of dependence. A dependence on the Lord. And the other thing that I want you to consider is that when you say the Lord is my shepherd, then it's a submission to his leadership. So a couple of very simple points, but so simple that they may go over your head and you may not even realize when you're making this statement exactly what you are saying. And so let's get into it. The first thing is if God is a shepherd, and we're going to see some verses that show that he is our shepherd, that it also means that we're sheep. And if you think about this, I don't know if you've ever considered, Christians have a good idea, even though they may have never been sheep herders or taken care of livestock, but it is not a complimentary allusion to make. To compare me to a sheep is not complimentary. I don't know if you realize this or not, and I do not know this by experience. The closest experience I had is that Trini and I took care for a very short time of cows. And I realized very quickly, I am not a cowboy. I have no interest in cows. But if sheep are as dumb as cows, then it is not complimentary. But it's true that a sheep has absolutely no sense. From what I've read, this is third person, that is not personal experience, but what I've read is that sheep can't take care of themselves. Sheep absolutely need a shepherd. Sheep are dependent. Look at just a couple of verses. Look at and just the first one is Psalm 100, another very popular psalm. It says in Psalm 100 and verse 3, it says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves." I'll stop right there and let you know that right there is a statement. Do you realize and understand that you are the created and he is the creator? That he's the one who made you, and as the one who made you, he has certain rights and privileges over you, and you can declare your independence from him, but it's not going to work. But it says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And so God many times uses this relationship between his people and himself as a shepherd with his sheep. I want you to know that sheep have no natural defenses. That's kind of offensive to me when you think about it. Look at Matthew chapter 9 in verse 36. I'll just go over these real quickly. In 9:36, Jesus looked at the multitudes, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. It says that also in the book of Numbers in chapter 28. It talks about sheep that are without a shepherd. Do you know that without a shepherd, the sheep are just scattered? You know, sheep do not self-organize. Sheep don't go into a protective mode and assign certain other sheep in order to protect the flock from predators. Sheep are very prone to predators. Sheep are defenseless. I don't know about you, but I don't feel defenseless. I don't feel defenseless. I feel like I've got some abilities to be able to protect myself. I've got some abilities to be able to preserve myself, that I'm not simply defenseless. And I don't particularly look at myself as one who's without any practical common knowledge. I've got a pretty good opinion of myself. And I bet you probably do too, that you've got a pretty good opinion of yourself. In fact, my personal opinion is, if I'm going to be compared to an animal, I would much rather be compared to like a lion, an eagle, you know, that's in my own perception. Now, I understand that people's perception of you is very different from your perception of yourself. That's just my idea. We used to sing a song, and I haven't heard the song in a long time, and I'm really glad. Because that song just, have you ever heard the song we sang it in church? I'm just a lily trusting God. I can't sing that verse. I don't consider myself this precious little lily just trusting God. I just don't. I feel like I've got more self-autonomy than that. I feel like I've got more strength than that. Like I'm not that fragile, you know? If you like the song, bless you. I mean, that's awesome, but you get my point? You compare me to a sheep, that is not complimentary. I feel like I'm not a defenseless, wandering little sheep. But you know, the Bible says in Isaiah, in chapter 53, in verse 6, because God really doesn't care what we think or whether or not we're offended. He's going to compare us as he sees it. And this is how he sees it. He says there in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, he says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." We've gone astray like sheep. Sheep are prone to go astray. They are going to wander off without the shepherd. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." So we have a conflict automatically with God, because he has one opinion of us and we have another. We have our own opinion that we're strong, that we're independent, that we're the, how did that one guy say it, that we are the captain of our soul, you know, that we can control our destiny. Isn't that what this says over there in Revelation? In Revelation, he really comes down hard on the church of Laodicea, because they say, "We are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." That's their opinion of themselves. And God's opinion is, "You're poor, blind, naked." All right, we could read it. I'm trying to quote it here. And he said there in Revelation in chapter 3, he says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest that not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked." Wow. Can there be any bigger contrast between your opinion of yourself and God's opinion of you? I don't think we can get a bigger contrast than that. And that's the problem when you say that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What you're saying is that you agree with God on what you are. You know, the problem is that the reason why more people don't get saved is because they do not agree with God. They don't believe that they're sinners. They don't believe that they're wretched and poor and miserable and blind and naked. They have a greater self-opinion of themselves, and you have got to come to the place, like David did in that statement right there, you've got to come to the place where you agree with God on your condition. You need a Savior. You need a shepherd. You can't make your own decisions. You can't go and I know some of you guys are businessmen. Some of you guys are, and women also are in positions of authority. and you don't consider yourself that way, but spiritually, we are completely helpless without our shepherd. Amen. We're scattered without our shepherd. Without the shepherd, we'll go our own way. We're going to fall right into a ditch. We're going to go right out into the path of a predator. We are going to be self-destructive. And if you don't think that the human race is naturally self-destructive, you need to open your eyes. Amen. We are bent on... It is amazing that our species has actually survived as long as it has, because we are bent on self-destruction. We are helpless without him. Look back over there at Isaiah in chapter 53 that we just read. When he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and verse 7 is a stunner. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. This is how he describes himself now. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so opened he not his mouth. We know the nature of sheep. Gone astray, no defense, no sense, no ability to be able to provide for themselves, no ability to be able to preserve or protect themselves. And what does it say here? That he came as a sheep. What does John the Baptist say when he sees Jesus Christ over there in John chapter 1? He says, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Isn't it amazing that as lowly and as base as we are, that God took human form? Wow. God became a man. God became like me. Weak, hungry, tired. God limited himself to a human body like I did so that he could become the sacrifice for my sins. That to me is amazing. Do you realize that God condescended himself to become like you so that he could save you? Wow, that's an amazing thing. Amen. So there you go. What's your opinion of yourself? And what's God's opinion of you? Amen. You need to take God's opinion of you. You really need him. I know that you go weeks at a time without thinking about him. You go weeks at a time without looking into his word, without considering his will, without considering his leadership, without considering his will in your life. And yet you need him desperately every day. If you realize how incredibly fragile you are without God, how incredibly defenseless you are without God, you are absolutely nothing without him. That's what you're saying. When you say, the Lord is my shepherd, you are admitting to yourself that you cannot make it on your own. You need him. And I'm not talking about just life in this world. I'm talking about you can't see God without Jesus Christ. You can't have your sins forgiven without Jesus Christ. The brother was just singing just this morning about what his plea would be when he stands up before heaven. You have got absolutely no excuse, no lawyer, no advocate, nobody to speak for you without Jesus Christ. If he doesn't speak for you, you've got nothing. You've got no entrance into heaven. You've got no hope of eternity. You've got no hope of ever seeing God without Jesus Christ, your shepherd. So the next time you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, you think about it. You think about what you are and how desperately you need him. But it leads right into just another consideration here, and that's that this is not just an admission of your true nature, but this is also a declaration of dependence. I don't know. I don't know how we get the idea that we are so incredibly independent and that nobody can tell us what to do. I guess it's kind of in our national nature. You know, we are not under an authoritarian ruler. We don't exist under a dictatorship. We're a free democratic society. And you might say, well, no, really, we're not free. You know, we got this and that, and I got to pay taxes and do all that kind of stuff. Well, let me know. Yeah, you compare yourself to a lot of nations in the world, and let me tell you what, you are free. You have the ability. I got up this morning and I went and I got in my truck, which I didn't have to get permission to buy. I could buy that truck. I got in it. Me and my wife did. We drove. We didn't hit any military checkpoints. We didn't have to check in and let somebody know that we were going from the south side of town to the north side of town. We came here free of any crime. The roads were clean. It's just an amazing thing. We came on paved roads. Roads all the way. I live more than 30 miles away from church, and every road was paved. There were no dirt roads. There was no ruts. It's incredible. We are free. We have an amazing society. We declared our independence hundreds of years ago from Britain, and we became our own nation, autonomous, answerable to ourselves. And the Lord has just done amazing things in our country. He's done amazing things for us. And you might say, well, this is not a real good place. I live here rather than anybody else, rather than any place else. We're independent, right? We are an independent nation. Well, not entirely, because when they wrote the Declaration of Independence and they set the bounds, they also declared their dependence upon God. In fact, doesn't it even still say on our money, in God we trust? It doesn't say in our own arm we trust. It says in God we trust. Yeah, we're straying away from that, but we are dependent. But when it comes to God, that independence can hurt you. We declare our independence from God all the time. You say, well, you know, I believe in God. I think he's my shepherd. How do I declare independence from God? Well, several ways. I'll read a few here and see if you're guilty of any of these. Making plans and decisions without considering God first. Amen. You guilty of anything like that?
Amen.
Making plans or decisions without considering God first. Amen. God first. Isn't it say in the Word of God that we put Him first? Amen. That God's going to provide all these things to us, but we got to put Him first. He comes first. But how many times have you made plans and never in your mind even considered possibly what the will of God might be? In that case, you're guilty of declaring independence from God. It's like you're walking up to God and saying, I know you're my shepherd. I know you're going to guide me. I know you're leading me. But God, I got this. I'll take care of this myself. No, you're guilty of that. How about lacking in prayer? When you don't pray and you don't seek God, you're in effect declaring independence from God. You're saying that you don't need Him. Prayer is something where we supplicate, we praise, we submit. There's all kinds of exercises that go along with prayer. And if you live your life without prayer, you're basically declaring your independence from God. You make decisions without God, you're declaring your independence. If you rely on your own resources and your own abilities to be able to figure things out, you're declaring independence from God. And independence is an illusion. You only think you're independent.
Right.
You only think that you don't need God. That when it comes to spiritual matters, you'll figure out things with God. But everything else in your life. But let me tell you something. You desperately need Him. Did you know that by Him all things consist? That's what it says in the book of Colossians. And that by His will, the molecules in your body hold together. There was a king. And this king... to give him credit, this king was an amazing king. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. He had more power than probably any leader that the world has seen since. He was king over a vast number of territories, 120 different provinces. And the capital of his kingdom was just an amazing place to come to. He had a reputation that was unparalleled. Nebuchadnezzar was walking through his palace one day, and he says, "Look at all the things that I have made." And he ascribed this whole thing to his own efforts. And you know what happened next if you've read the Bible. God declared a judgment on him, and in a minute he was outside in the yard eating grass like an ox. And for 7 years he was insane. In an instant, just like that. Where do you get off saying that everything that you have, everything that you are, came from your own intelligence, your own efforts, your own ability to be able to figure things out? Do you realize that without God, you wouldn't be able to reason? You wouldn't be able to think? You wouldn't be able to move? You wouldn't be able to even exist without Him?
Amen.
It's like a little kid looking up at his dad and saying, I don't need you. Get out of here. Get out of my life. Those of you that have raised kids, any of your kids, when they were little, ever wanted to run away? It's so cute. It is adorable. They get their little thing, right? And they pack their little sandwich or whatever it is, or most kids don't even think that far ahead, and maybe they take their favorite toy and they decide, "I'm gonna head out on my own." They get to the edge of the driveway, you know. They get to the mailbox, all of a sudden things are a little scary, and then they realize they hadn't eaten yet, so then they turn around, go back home. Yeah, it's kind of cute when a kid declares his independence from his parents, but you know, we are a lot like that in that we will walk away from God, who gives us everything that we need, who loads us daily with benefits, and yet we live like he doesn't even exist. We declare independence. Maybe it's time that you said, "The Lord is my shepherd."
Amen.
Why wait until things are so muddled up that then you call upon God? You know, you need him every day. You need to declare your dependence on God. And listen, I'm telling you, we are prone to it. Our hearts can get hardened against God. That's what the scriptures say. The Bible talks about a group of people that did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and they ended up being fools. God made fools out of them. But you need him. Maybe you need to declare your dependence upon God again. You know, because I'm telling you, we need him for everything. I can't make decisions without him. Are you kidding, Brian? Come on. Yeah, you can make decisions. You're your own man. No, seriously. I can't make decisions without God. When I make decisions without God, I always get things wrong, you know? I'm telling you, he is active in every part of your life. Are you looking for a job? Seek his face. Amen. Seek him. You need a direction as to what direction to go? Seek his face. Look at your shepherd. Find you. You know, your shepherd is there for a reason, because you are a sheep. You need a shepherd. And he's there for your provision. He's there for your guidance. He's there for your protection. How many times has God protected you and you don't even realize he's done it? The Lord is my shepherd. That's what David said. And David knew a little bit about sheep, and he knew a little bit about what it means to be a shepherd. And what he was saying is that I'm an experienced shepherd, but I don't dare try to shepherd my own soul. I'll shepherd sheep, but I'm not going to shepherd myself. I need the Lord. The Lord's my shepherd. Maybe it's time that you said that again to God. Maybe it's time you walked out into the woods and got alone with God and said, "Lord, I've made a mess of my life, and I've come to the end of my rope, and I've decided that I'm going to submit again, and I'm going to let you be my shepherd." Because the truth is, he's your shepherd anyway, whether you let him or not. But then there's one more thing. What have we described so far? To make this statement, you've got to admit your nature. that you're just a sheep in need of a shepherd, that you've got to declare your dependence upon God, that you've got to really understand that you need Him for everything. But it's also active submission to His leadership. This is probably the tough one. Look at John in chapter 10. This is the tough one right here. John chapter 10 and verse 7. It says, "Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." You are not going to find a greater invitation than that right there. This is an amazing invitation. Look, especially if you are not familiar with Jesus Christ, you don't know much about Him, let me tell you what He's offering you in this statement right here. He says, "I am the door. By me," that's by Jesus Christ, "if any man enter in, he shall be saved." That means if you come to God through Jesus Christ, the promise is that you are going to be saved from your sins. Totally, completely forgiven, new clean slate, and you are going to belong to Him. And you're going to go in and out, you're going to find pasture. That is a description of your life in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 26. He says, "But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." This describes the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. And you know what he says? He says that the sheep hear his voice. And the sheep know his voice. And not only that, but the sheep follow him. So what's our responsibility? Our responsibility is to follow him. So what are you saying? When you read that passage there in Psalm 23 and you say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," what is it that you're saying? You're saying that you agree to follow him. You are going to be a sheep when the shepherd stands up and says, "Let's move out, we're going over there." You don't question it, you just go. You know what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? It's to follow him. It's to follow him, not to argue with him. I've had employees that we get in, and I'm sure you probably had somewhat the same experience. And of course, you know what you're doing, right? You're the one that hired him, right? And so you get in there, and you've got some sort of a project going on. This happened to me just a couple of weeks ago. I had this project going on, and I brought in this employee, and I'm saying, "Okay, we're going to do this, this, and this," and I'm describing everything that we're going to be doing. And everything that I said, he says, "Well, you know, that's really, there's another way to do that." And I spent 15 minutes of our workday trying to convince him to shut up and do what he... And I said it nicer than that, but... "Look, please, just zip, lock, and do what you're told. Just, I don't care about your opinion. You've been doing this for a year. We've been doing it for 35 years. I think we've learned some things. Just do it." Isn't that amazing? I've had Christians that have gotten fired. "Oh, man, I lost my job." They lost their job because they were trying to tell the boss how to run their company. Yeah, I'd fire you too. Why does God have to argue with you every step of the way? Why does he have to try to draw you and reason with you and try to convince you that his way is good? Why in your mind is there always this natural resistance to the leading of God? All he says is follow. And all we have to do, it's not always easy, is it? All we have to do is follow him. You say, how do I follow him? I can't even see him. I don't know him. How do you follow him? Well, there's a couple of ways that God leads you. Because when it comes to being a shepherd, that's one of the huge, huge advantages of having a shepherd, is that he gets to lead. He gets to call the shots. Sometimes in your life, God will lead you, and I know that this phrase, you know, people will explain how they've explained things, decisions that they made in their life, when they say, well, I just really believe that God was leading me in this direction or ever. And sometimes they're right, and sometimes they're wrong. But here's what happens, is God will sometimes intervene in your life, and he will lead you by circumstances. I'll give you an example. Over there in the book of Acts, remember Paul and Silas, they were seeking God's will, and doors were closing left and right, and then all of a sudden they were in this area called Philippi. They were put in prison. And they were down in the bottom of a prison. It wasn't their choice to go down into the bottom of prison. It was obvious that God was orchestrating events to put these two down in the bottom of a prison. It was obvious that the shepherd of these two sheep was leading them in green pastures, right? Still waters. Well, sometimes that doesn't describe your life, that describes your spirituality, but sometimes God will lead into some really dark areas. Now, let me tell you what the average person is going to do. The average Christian is going to be down in the bottom of that jail cell and sunk down into the stocks, and the last thing they're going to be thinking about is singing praise to God. They're going to be on their cell phones calling the ACLU. This isn't right. You know, I have rights. You shouldn't. They're going to be demanding their rights. They're going to be blowing up their phone and talking to other people. And they're going to be putting their dilemma on Facebook. And they're going to be saying this isn't right. And you know what Paul and Silas did? They sang praises to God. You realize what a lesson that is to us? When God leads you into a deep place and you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If God put me here, I'm going to trust him. Amen. God ever put you in a dark spot? And then you found out later on it was exactly what was needed? Sometimes God leads by circumstances. Life isn't always easy. I remember you know, we were just like Jane and Todd and Gabby and what's the husband's name she married? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Josh. Yeah, we were having kids, and then we had Alyssa. Remember that? Remember Alyssa was born. And I was like, man, this is horrible. How can any good come out of this? You know, this is ruins our life. I was actually on the verge of bailing out on Lindell and going to the mission field myself, because that seemed to be what everybody did in this position right here. Go off and be and it shut me down. And I felt for a while, I felt like, no, God, you know what? Why did you do this to us? You know, I wasn't really questioning him too much, but there was this confusion, like, how can any good come out of this really sucks. I don't know if you can say that from the pulpit, but it did. It was bad news. Of course, now we have perspective of time. You know what time has taught us? That God has given us innumerable blessings. Nurses have been saved as a result of what was going on there. Things happened in our lives. Opportunities opened up. Things took place that we could, there's no way that you could have taken me back to 30 years old when she was born and say that all this good stuff was going to come out of a tragedy. But it did. We had a shepherd. That shepherd led us down a path. We could have bailed out, and I'll tell you something, we had, we were members of different support groups and other parents and stuff. Do you know that, for disabled children, that the divorce rate is like 3 or 4 times the rate of a normal divorce? Men, especially the men. the men just bail out. You know, I don't know why they, you know, I think a real man ought to stay. You know, a real man ought to own up to what he's done, and he ought to stay and help. But men, they want to be free. They don't want to be tied down. And so we had innumerable conversations with men trying to get them to take their responsibilities. It was an amazing thing. So there, God led us, our shepherd led us by example. You know, God knows what he's doing. You know that God knows what he's doing and he can take care of you. What does he say there? He describes, he says, yea, though thou walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's a statement of faith in God. When you're saying the Lord is my shepherd, you are basically giving him the right to lead you into whatever path he wants you to be in. So sometimes he's going to lead by circumstance. He leads also by direct command. Hey, this is tough. I was talking to somebody one time about the words of Jesus. Because they were trying to say that we were talking about the subject of hell, and they were saying, you know, there is no hell. Hell doesn't make any sense. Hell is not right. Hell is not just. Hell is not good. And I said, but Jesus said there was a hell. Jesus said there was a hell. Yeah, I understand that, but you know that the reasoning behind it, and I think the metaphor and this and that, and they were trying, and I said, yeah, but Jesus said it. That's what he's talking about. If you say the Lord is my shepherd, then you are bound by his words. And if he said it, then you've got to believe it and own up to it. You know what he said too? He said, love your neighbor. I wish he hadn't said that. It's not always easy to love your neighbor. You should have been here Wednesday night. I led a little bit on a Hatfields and McCoy situation that we were in for a while that could have turned out really, really bad. But God says, love your neighbor. And the conviction of my heart the whole time, I wanted revenge. He said, love your neighbor. God said it. Do you know if you say the Lord is my shepherd, you are bound by his words. Amen. Have you read his words? Have you contemplated his words? Have you contemplated his commands? You know, when you want to fill yourself with bitterness and anger and frustration, have you reread what Jesus said when he said forgive? When he said love? You know, God knows what he's doing. Your shepherd, by the way, is a good shepherd. Amen. Jesus is a good shepherd. He is not going to lead you or feed you or take you down any path that is not going to, in the end, once you see the final picture, going to be absolutely phenomenal, and you're going to declare God is good. You know, I think very few people in heaven, except for maybe those souls under the altar that are waiting for vengeance, are going to get in the end and stand before God and say, God, I know you made my life like this, but I wish you'd have made it a little bit different. You know what we're going to be doing? We're going to say, Lord, you're good. Man, you're amazing. You're awesome. Thank you, Lord, for being my shepherd, you know. So direct command. He determines your direction by direct command. And we're tied to the word. Of course, there are times too when I know it's past 12, but hey, you guys are good, right? You're good. Because I got a point that I need to make, and this is an important point to make, is that sometimes he will lead you and he will ask you to follow where it's not really clear. Let me give you an example of it. Look at Romans in chapter 12. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, the Bible didn't tell me not to? I had a dope head tell that to me one time. I said, man, why do you smoke marijuana? You need to give that thing up, man. It's muddling your brain. And he says, well, the Lord never told me not to. Do you have a verse in the Bible that says not to smoke a joint? No, I don't. But I got something better. Look what it says in Romans in chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And here's the command, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, what is the command here in this verse right here? Is to not be conformed to this world. Okay? That's the command right there. So, now, define it. What does it mean not to be conformed to this world? If we did a survey right now of exactly what that means, we are going to get, what do we got, about 80 people in here? We're going to get 80 different opinions about what being conformed to this world actually means. Some people wish that God would actually give us a list. What kind of haircut I need to have? What kind of shirt I need to wear? What kind of words that I need to speak? You know, what kind of job do I need to have? And they start going all these things. What does it mean to be conformed to this world? And he says that he wants you not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I read this verse because I've got a point to make, is that there are some things that God is leading you to, that your shepherd is taking you to, that is not explicitly written out in the Bible. There's a lot that we do or don't do that is not, that we don't have an explicit verse on. This is what God wants you to do. God wants you to spend some time and some energy and some effort in seeking His face. Amen. Well, God, I got two choices, Lord. I can go with company A and I can go with company B. You know what God's not going to do? God's not going to put the choice like a glowing thing, you know? He's not going to put a green light over the door that He wants you to go through. God wants you to think for yourselves a little bit. God wants you to get in there. When you're faced with a dilemma and you don't have any clear direction, He wants you to get into the Word. He wants you to renew your mind. He wants you to seek His face. And in seeking His face, many times the answer comes clear. But you want to be lazy. Lord, if this job isn't for me, just close the door. You ever told that before? Amen. If this isn't the right job for me, Lord, just close the door. I did that one time. I said, Lord, if that job right there isn't right for me, I was trying to get off the road, get out of trucking. I wanted to get a job at a truck driving school. And I said, just shut it down, Lord. And I went through the certification process and I got accepted and I passed this and I passed that and I got hired as an instructor. And so I'm going through the thing and I'm saying, okay, you know, and they had always promised me Sundays off. And the lady said, well, I said, well, you know, I got church on Sundays. And she looked at me and she says, oh, she said, you aren't going to have a Sunday off in years. I'm like, what? So then this thing in my mind, I'm saying, wait, Lord, you said you would, I asked you to shut the door and you didn't shut the door. You let me walk through it. And now I got a job where I can't be in church on Sundays, which was my personal conviction, and I think it's a good conviction to have. I wanted to be in God's house on Sundays. And so I learned a valuable lesson that day, that you don't be lazy when seeking God's will for your life and just letting Him say, well, you know, if you don't do this, just shut the door and open this other door and this and that. Sometimes that happens, but there's sometimes God wants you to think for yourself. He wants you to investigate His claims. And what that's going to mean is there's sometimes you're going to be in a dilemma and you're not going to know what to do. And you're going to have to get into the Word of God and see if there's any principles that apply to your decision, to see if there's any pros and cons. I'm telling you, we don't need to be lazy in seeking God's face. God wants you to expend effort into getting to know Him. Do you know that He says, my sheep hear my voice and they know me? There are many sheep that they have just a distant relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm telling you, He wants you to know Him. He wants you to investigate Him. He wants you to get into His Word. He wants you to talk about Him. He wants you to seek counsel. You've got to do all those things. If you say, the Lord is my shepherd, then you are going to look to your shepherd for everything that you've got in this life. He's a good provider. He's a good protector. I'm telling you, He cares for our souls. 1 Peter 2:25 says, you were like sheep going astray, but you were returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Oh, if you've been wandering away from God, if you've been living your life without a care as to what His will might be for your life, stop right now. Acknowledge your dependence upon Him. Seek His face for leadership and for wisdom. I want you to be one who can truly say from the bottom of your heart that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this time, and thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, please just suit a blessing and touch every heart here in some way, fashion. Lord, we're helpless without you, but we have your word, we have your leading, we have your guidance, we have your presence. And Lord, I just want to say you've been a good shepherd. You have been a good shepherd. And I pray that each one in this room would know you in a more intimate way. And Lord, be more accountable to you, more in tune to you. Lord, as you lead us and guide us in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Lord bless you. Thank you for your patience. We'll see you tonight at 7 o'clock.